So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're picking up with personal stewardship. And I'm hoping I'll be able to finish that tonight. But personal stewardship is a very important thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible speaks not just stewardship of the church or of our lives in serving the Lord. And we've got some more stuff on tithe here in a moment we're going to go over. But he also, the stewardship of our bodies. How do you treat yourself? By the way, I went to heart doctor today. He said I was in good shape. Amen to that. So I don't have to take a stress test this year. That's really good. I was excited about that because I didn't want to take a stress test, but I stress out all the time. I told him, I said, I've got a good stress test going on. But anyway, our bodies as well as our souls really belong to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, I'm going to step out on a limb here just a little bit, and I'm going to tell you that even our dress has a lot to do with our stewardship. We don't want to dress inappropriately, and I think we all, with common sense, know what inappropriately is. But nonetheless, I think we need to be careful there. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are to use our bodies really to glorify God. Therefore, really and truly, we ought not to let our bodies be used for sinful things. That's not a wise thing to do. Look at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So it's not healthy for us to indulge in sinful things, whatever it may be, and we're not going to categorize all of that stuff. But it's not healthy for us to do that. It's not healthy for us bodily-wise or physical, you know what I'm saying. It's not very healthy for us to be that way. I'm not saying we got to eat kosher foods. Listen, kosher foods ain't cheap. And if you want to buy kosher foods, that's fine. I can't afford all of that stuff. I do buy my orange juice. It's kosher. Says it on there. It's in Hebrew. It's been blessed. No big deal. I just happen to like the orange juice I get. Because I like to chew my orange juice as I drink it. Kind of like, you know, whales, they swim in the water and swallow all them little bitty fish. That's kind of what I feel like, maybe. But I like that high pulp. But anyway, since our bodies belong to God, we should not take them places that God would not have them go. There are some places, not just where we live, but all over the U.S., all over the world, really, that we probably ought not to go, being Christians. It's not good for us. And we wouldn't want to take God there. We are also admonished to control our tongue, in obedience to the Lord. In James chapter 1, verse 26, he tells us to do that. Let's go look at that. The book of James, if you find Hebrews, you'll find James. You keep going. Book of James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. In other words, we need to bridle our tongue. We need to be careful how we speak to people, even when we're angry. We need to be careful with that. That's not a good thing. We should avoid habits that are very harmful for you. In other words, you don't want to drink a gallon of coffee every day. Probably not real good for you. We don't need to eat five ribeyes in the afternoon either. I mean, you know, you got to be careful with what you do. The body is our bodies are used for Christ. And that's what the way we should use them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Let's look at that verse. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So whatever we do in our bodies, we need to do for the glory of God. That's an important thing. That's very important in stewardship. Now, periodically, we should give the body an honorable rest, to be honest with you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Everybody needs a little break. Everybody needs a little rest every now and then. It's good for you. You can't just go and go and go and go and go. God gives you common sense to know that, listen, we ought to take a little bit of a break every now and then. I think it's important for our bodies to take a break. It's important for our minds to kind of relax. So, chapter 14 of Matthew, in verse 22 and 23, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He was there relaxing. He had been praying to the Father. So that tells us something. It's okay to get away and to take a break, but we don't take a break from the Lord. We continue to be the Christian we should be. It might do us some good to do a little extra praying, maybe a little more reading, maybe a little less reading, but it's kind of whatever's restful for us. And I think that's important for us. The Bible teaches a stewardship of our means. In other words, the Scripture reveals to us in doctrines concerning giving. And I know I kind of touched on this the other day, but we're going to touch on it again. We are commanded, actually, to give accordingly to our income as the Lord has blessed us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, Paul says, let's every Sunday, the first day of the week, let's take our tithes into the church house. And I know that's kind of hard for us all to do right now. And I suppose you could hang on to it, or you can give it to me, or you can get in touch with Brother Tony Williams. But nonetheless, we're supposed to continue to do that first day of the week, just like Paul said. And Deuteronomy, now the Old Testament, it was a command. So if you want to go over there or just write it down, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, Let's see, Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, three times a year shall thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall appear before the Lord empty. Now, verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. In other words, as the Lord has blessed you, we are to give back a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with. And I know right now times are hard. A lot of people aren't working. The Lord knows what's going on in your life. The Bible teaches proportionate giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you want to run over there, we'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oops. I can't get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Most people don't like to harp on giving. We're not harping on it. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. He says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. So, in other words, the only proportion giving spoken, the proportion spoken of in the Bible with reference to giving is the tithe. It's the percentage. Tithing is taught by commandment and example. So in the Old Testament, tithing was a command. Now it is, well, I won't say in the Old Testament. We're gonna rephrase that. The law, when the law come about, tithing was commanded. Now we should, just out of a desire, hunger in our heart to do so, to do it with the right heart. And I think it's very important. God commanded the Israelites to tithe. That's over in Leviticus chapter 27. Under the Mosaic law, they gave a tenth of all their produce, their flocks, their cattle. It was the Lord, and he commanded them. And God charged Israel for being disobedient. He told them in Malachi 3, 8, and 9, he says, hey, he says, you guys have robbed. He said, will a man rob God? Well, no. But they were robbing God. Listen, when we hold back, in a sense, we're robbing God of what he has blessed us with. And I think we should do that. We should not rob God. We ought to be obedient to him and give it to him. And you say, well, Pastor Jim, it was a law in the Ten Commandments. Well, that's true. We don't live by those. But let's go before the law was given and go over to Hebrews chapter 7. Oh, Pastor, that's in the New Testament. Yeah, but it's important. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 2 and 6. Tithes were given before the law. Chapter 2 says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. He gave to Melchizedek. He gave a tenth part of all. In other words, he went ahead and tithed, and there wasn't even law for it. He was tithing. Already, verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that he blessed him that had the promises. In other words, there was a promise given to Abraham. We know that. That through Isaac, the world would be blessed and a great nation would be, which is Israel, and all the world would be blessed. But before there was ever a law, Abraham gave freely a tenth. Now, if you want to read a little more about that, Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22, but we see from this that tithes were not restricted to just those under the law. They were given hundreds of years before the law ever came into being. So, Jesus approved, by the way, giving of tithes. Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 23. Go over here to Matthew chapter 23. And verse 23. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. In other words, he's saying, hey, don't be out there tithing so everybody can. You ought to be willing to tithe from the heart. And he approved of doing that. God promised, by the way, manifold blessings for giving according to His Word. Let's look at the book of Malachi. If you're in Matthew, back up to the last book of the Old Testament. We're going to go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, if we give to the Lord freely with the right heart, the Lord will bless us for doing that. Look at 2 Corinthians while we're digging. I told you we're going to jump around. Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed, as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, let me break all this down real quick. Basically, the Lord is saying, give of your own accord and give what you can. He don't expect you to say, well, I could have paid all these bills, but I'm going to give this big chunk because the Bible says the Lord's going to bless me lots more. You just need to do it with the right heart. You need to give with the right heart. You may not can give but a buck. Somebody else might give $500. Somebody else might give $20. If it's from the right heart, every one of them is the same in God's eyes. He doesn't say, well, old Joe over there, he gives $1,000. I'm going to bless him big time. And Miss So-and-so over here, what, you know, she gave $1. I'll bless her, but nothing like Joe. That ain't what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying if it's done with the heart, listen, He will bless you. And there's no doubt about it. The Bible told us that if we give bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. If we do sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But it's all from the heart. If bountifully to you and your amount of money you have is $5, That means the same as if it was $500 in the Lord's eyes. It's what's coming from your heart. All right, last thing we're going to touch on this evening. In addition to our tithe and our bodies and the stewardship of being faithful, we're going to talk about almsgiving. Go to Luke 41. Luke chapter 11, verse 41. Luke chapter 11, verse 41. Luke 11, 41. But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, some reason my wording here ain't very good. All things are clean unto you. Is that what it says, things right there? Okay. Some reason it ain't in here. It's got a mess up in my Bible printing. So, but rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Now, almsgiving is seen in the Old Testament, in the oldest books of the Bible. You go look in the book of Job and chapter 29, there was almsgiving. Moses, he imposed a command concerning the needs of the poor over in Deuteronomy chapter 15. And then God honors giving in that manner over in Proverbs chapter 19 and also in Acts chapter 10. God honors when we give to the poor, when we give to help somebody out. I'm not talking about, well, you're going down the road and there stands a beggar on the side of the road. That's not what really I'm talking about. If you give to that person with the right heart, listen, the Lord's going to bless. But we're talking about if you know somebody that needs something and you just don't say anything about it, you just make sure they get what you're giving, which may be a spare hamburger you had. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. It could have been a bottle of water. If that's what you had to be able to give. It's the giving out of your heart to somebody that is in need. Blessings in almsgiving in Isaiah chapter 58. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 discusses the blessings of that. Paul, he was diligent in remembering the poor. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. He said we need to remember the poor. It's an important thing, and we do. We need to remember the poor. If we give, we are promised, by the way, if it's with the right heart, that it'll return to us big time. Look at Luke. You're still in the book of Luke. Go over to chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Listen, I have gave just because I felt, I'll be honest. The other day, I was in the parking lot at Smith's. Way over here in the corner, there sat a guy. He had a sign, but I couldn't really read it. He wasn't out there protesting it. I walked up to him. He was a veteran. And I talked with him for a minute, and he was standing back up, and he said, I'd shake your hand, but I don't know. I said, I'll shake your hand. I ain't worried about it. And I shook the man's hand, and we talked for a few minutes, and he knows the Lord is the Savior, but he didn't ask me for anything. I said, here, the Lord just laid it on my heart. I gave him some cash. Wasn't a whole lot, but the point is I gave him the cash. I felt the Lord wanted me to do that. That's what he's talking about. And be honest with you, the Lord's blessed me since then for doing that. So the Lord does. He blesses for what we do for Him, from our truly from our heart. Now, Jesus, he did not encourage soliciting for alms. He beggars. Nor really are God's people to encourage encourage laziness. That's not what it's about. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy life and people will take care of me. That's not what it's talking about. And God did not encourage that. But He did encourage that we help people in times of poverty. For instance, if you know somebody right now that is doing without, maybe you ought to pray about it. Maybe you ought to give them some food. Maybe you might want to give them some cash. I have no idea. My neighbors, we were all out there talking one day, and he said here several weeks ago, he said, man, toilet paper is just like, it's like gold. And this guy's got like 5 kids. And I'm thinking, well, he's got 3 kids, excuse me. My wife's going like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5. Anyway, in the family, I had an extra thing of toilet paper. I didn't say nothing to him. I walked over and I gave it to his kid. He was outside playing. I said, take this, give it to your mom. I just done it out of the goodness of my heart. It wasn't because I wanted them to, my neighbors, the Baptists, gave us some toilet paper. I just gave because I felt they needed it. It's not always money, and people aren't begging. We were just in conversation, and we were laughing about it because I told him, I said, I think people's using that on a rotisserie or something. I don't know what they're doing with it, but they buy it up like it's gold. Maybe they're going to black market it. The Bible does really insist upon ministering to those that are in distress. It does tell us to. If we know somebody is in distress, we should minister to them. Luke chapter 3. Let's go there. We're just a few pages away. Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath 2 coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. If you know somebody that needs it, give to them. If you give them with the right heart, listen, the Lord will bless for that. Jesus warned giving in order to be seen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. If what you're doing out there, if you're just doing it to be seen of men, it's not a good thing. Verse 1 of chapter 6, Matthew, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I had somebody the other day sent me a letter and had some X amount of dollars in there and said, please give this to somebody that's in need. The Lord will bless that person for them thinking that away. We did give it to somebody that was in need. And so that's the way the Lord works. The Lord's not going to leave you hanging. You're in a bind, by the way, you pray about it. The Lord will open that door up. He'll encourage the right person to give to you. Now, we don't want to do it to be seen of men. We want to do it out of our heart. There's a solemn declaration against those who have this world's goods and ignore the needs of others. We're not going to go read all of these verses. In other words, those that have this and they hoard it, they keep it hoarded back, And that's not just rich people. That's some of us old middle class or even low class. If we're hoarding back money, we're hoarding back food, the Lord frowns on that. You can read about it and get... Well, let's go read a few of them. Why not? We got nothing else to do, right? James chapter 2. It ain't like you guys are going out to a restaurant tonight. James chapter 2, verse 15. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful of the body, what doth it profit? In other words, if you've got it, knowing someone needs it, maybe you ought to give. Pray about it and ask the Lord to give, especially if they was to mention to you, well, brother, I'll pray for you. Well, what y'all do is say, I'll pray for you, and by the way, here's a hamburger. Or by the way, here's a pair of shoes. Whatever needs to be done. 1 John chapter 3 talks about all this. All we have really is all from the Lord. Everything that we have comes from the Lord. There is nothing that you can look in your cupboards, in your freezer, in your pocketbook that wasn't given to you by the Lord. So, honestly, we should be willing to give to others as they need. That's just good stewardship of what the Lord has blessed us with. That's all I have for tonight.